Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome, folks, to our regular Sunday morning Q&A, where we answer your questions that you've kindly sent in.
Keep them coming in.
Yeah, to send them into tomatts@tnepublishing.com. That's the number 2, M-A-T-T-S. First question up. Do you want to take
the first question? It's less than a year until the US presidential election. This is from Ben Valentine. Thank you, Ben. I've recently read two books that have opened my eyes to the perilous state of the USA. How Civil Wars Start by Barbara F. Walter. How to Stop Fascism by Paul Mason, a new European writer. Mm. If Trump wins the election, do you think this will lead to civil war in America with anti-fascists needing to rise up against the fascists? Good question.
Ben Valentine. Thank you, Ben. Well, yes, almost certainly, I think. I think there'll be... I mean, if it happens and, you know, God willing, it won't. But I think it will, if we thought that there were tensions last time around, I think they'll be redoubled because everybody will see it as an affirmation that, you know, the Savior has returned and we can pick up where we left off, won't they?
Yeah, I mean, we've name-checked Barbara F. Walter's book before on the podcast. It's a great book, and she's a professor at, I think, the University of California in San Diego, and she's very good on what civil wars look like now. Interestingly, she called out in that book that Hamas would be back in violent really? Form. She did. Her point is that if there's a civil war, it won't be armies meeting on the field of Gettysburg. It will be a very different militia-based kind of war. I mean, what worries me about... Ben's question is absolutely to the point. I'm not sure that Trump losing the election isn't just as bad.
Right.
Because, you know, January the 6th has now entered the mythology, like Waco, of the sort of far right in America, the MAGA core, the deplorables. If he loses, they'll just, it will be like that on steroids, yeah. I think. So yeah. I'm very concerned about America. I mean, you know, I want Trump to lose catastrophically badly. That's even if he does, I'm not sanguine about what will happen next, I'm afraid.
It's going to be an amazing year to watch unfold.
It really is.
One thing I think that we is beholden on us all to be slightly cautious about is these people, these fascists that we're talking about, are very marginal. They need to be marginalized.
Yes.
That's my point. They are not mainstream. They're a small number of nefarious, malevolent actors, and they need to be marginalised. Where it gets difficult is if the right-wing media see them as useful leverage in a culture war that they want to fight. But when you get like the proper, hardcore, nasty fascists that attack the Capitol or might show up and, you know, wave Union Jacks pretending to be patriots, the Tommy Robinsons of this world... They're marginal characters, and let's not think that they are a mainstream faction.
I can't remember if it was Lenin or Trotsky, but one of them said, "All I need is the tip of the spear."
Right.
Don't let them become the tip of the spear.
Yeah,
that's the key.
Stalin, I think, said that in the battle of quality and quantity, quantity has its own quality.
Yes,
and there are more of us than them.
Yes,
and I think, you know, that other cliche about, you know, for bad things to happen, all that needs is for good people to stay quiet.
Absolutely,
it's so true. You know, so do something positive. You know, say something. You know, if you hear somebody saying
subscribe
something
to the New European,
subscribe, and above all, subscribe to the New European. Let's have our next question. Dave, just listened to last Sunday's episode and have a follow-on related to the question about voter ID. I am a Brit living in the Netherlands, where carrying photo ID is mandatory. You use it wherever you need to prove your identity. More generally, it makes identity fraud harder. New Labour considered such a scheme, introducing mandatory ID. Do you think there is any chance of any UK government introducing one? Thank you, Dave, for that question. Very interesting.
I hope not. It's been bubbling around for 30, 40 years, this one. I remember a conference when Michael Howard was Home Secretary, and he said he was thinking about this, and the Tory faithful cheered this to the rafters. But I think one of the great things about living in this country is you don't have to carry papers or an ID. Yeah. I do. I really do. Although I also think that it might make the whole management, which has become so toxic, of migration and so on, a bit easier.
I'm going to respectfully and hopefully agreeably disagree, because
it's not a hill to die on for me.
No, but I just don't get what the problem is, apart from the fact that I know I would lose about 12 of them every year.
Well,
I don't understand. Provided there's no kind of compulsion to present it when challenged on the street, that then starts to feel like you're becoming into a slightly more authoritarian state. But if you had something that wasn't a passport or a driving license, that you could prove your age, your ID, you could quickly flash somebody and say, this is who I am, here's my photo, here's my address. It seems to me an act of convenience. And I do agree that if there are people in this country who have no right to be in this country, having an ID card system could be one of the mechanisms that would be a discouragement to that.
Well, and also a reassurance to those who are.
Who are, yeah.
Here, you know,
yeah.
That they're not going to be totally harassed and hassled as much.
100%. And that's probably the way I should have argued.
It's a strong argument for it. I mean, the other strong argument for it, I suppose, is that every single card that we have in our wallets and our phones has 200 times more information than any ID card would have. And so in a sense, the ship has already sailed.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Okay, thank you for your question, Dave. Keep in touch from the Netherlands. Nice to hear you.
How poisonous an effect do a predominantly right-wing and frequently dishonest media have on British political discourse? And why, when the right speaks of freedom of speech, does it mean freedom of speech for it, the right, and not for those who do not subscribe to its ideology? From Michael Rosenthal. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael, for that question. Great question. It won't surprise you to hear that I think it has a massively negative effect on life. Politically, obviously, I think the decision-making around the news desk of the Daily Mail more often than not ends up being discussed around the cabinet table when there's a, not just a Tory government, I think Labour governments pay a lot of attention to the Daily Mail, and I think there's a lot of malevolence in that, in their values, and they want this kind of, they've got this slightly warped view of what Britain is, you know, largely characterised by one guy, Paul Dacre, who's held sway over the Mail editorially for a long time and has kind of imbued all of his deputies for a long time with this sense of what the Daily Mail is and Middle England and Britain's going to hell in a handbasket and all of this stuff. And sometimes it is obviously nasty, but they are so clever at the way they present their nastiness that it's always just on that edge of explainability, you know, or respectability. And, you know, a lot of people buy into the Daily Mail's view of Britain. And I think where the problem really falls is when people like the BBC look at the Daily Mail, and maybe this is happening less because of the fuss that's been made post-Brexit about sort of false equivalence over certain issues. But when they look at the Daily Mail's front page and think there's the agenda, and I think the Daily Mail has a very clear agenda of its own and needs to be called out for that all the time. You know, obviously they've got the right to say whatever they want to say. That's fine. But let's not pretend that that's the national agenda. But
no,
danger it seeps in.
It is, and I agree with all that. I do. I would take issue slightly with Michael's point about the right, meaning freedom of speech for itself and not for those who don't subscribe to its ideology. Because while there's always the danger of censorship from the right, and Florida in particular is a case in point of what terrible things that Governor DeSantis is doing there. I fear that in this country at the moment, most of the deplatforming and marginalization is coming from the left. And right. that is not a good place for progressives to occupy.
But from left-wing media?
No. From activists. I think it's institutional capture. And I think publishers run a mile. For example, gender-critical feminists
right.
find it very hard to get published.
Right.
When they do get published, their books are invariably bestsellers.
Right.
I'm a free speech person, and I hate it wherever I find it, that censorship. And so I'm not sure I agree that the principal problem's on the right.
I'll give you a counter point of view, which is something that's always struck me as irritating and possibly part of the problem around how wishy-washy the media's coverage around Brexit was, if you were of the Remain point of view, is that the right-wing media always seems to be so much more on message to me and focused about their message than the left-wing press is. And the example I'd give you was that The Guardian used to, I don't think they do anymore, but they used to have a thing called Bubble Buster, which was billed as, you know, five articles today to challenge your worldview. And they were articles from the right-wing media.
Yeah.
Now, it's utterly inconceivable that the Daily Mail would have Bubble Buster with Guardian articles.
Yes.
Yes,
but that's an argument about the responsibility of a newspaper to include all views, which I personally hope that happens. Yeah. But I think if you're actually talking about freedom of speech, you know, I think that if you look at universities at the moment and the public sector, most of the curtailment of freedom of speech is coming from the progressive side of that.
Yeah.
And I worry that progressives are becoming associated with a sort of puritanism and pinched
right.
approach to diverse opinion, which, you know, will not serve it well.
All right. Okay. Well, we can discuss this more in future, I am sure. This week's episode is sponsored by The New European, and boy oh boy, do we have a seasonal gift for you if you subscribe.
What's that, Santa?
It is. And I shouldn't be laughing, but it's an absolutely
deadly serious.
It's a fantastically funny set of six Christmas cards and a 2024 wall calendar.
Also seriously funny, yeah, I'll be bound.
But they are bloody funny.
Bloody funny.
I honestly even wrote some of the gags myself.
Well, then it's a lock.
It is an absolute lock-in. And you can get those six cards and your fantastic wall calendar to give you laughs all the way through 2024 and to make all of your friends think you are the funniest person on the block when they get your Christmas card if you subscribe to The New European. And The New European, if you don't know, is a fantastic newspaper and website full of great serious political analysis from great writers like the very fantastic Matthew D'Ancona. Do you know him?
Seen here.
Relative?
Yeah, very cousin, I think.
Patience Wheatcroft. Bonnie Greer,
James Ball,
Tannicock, Jonty Bloom,
Will Self,
absolute stellar stuff.
And
Alistair Campbell's Diary is an absolute.
It's a must.
It's an absolute must read. And it's also got loads of fantastic cultural commentary and features stuff, left field stuff you won't read anywhere else. But if you love Europe and you want to get a sense of why Europe is a fantastic continent and a great place we all love, then The New European was literally made for you. So subscribe and join our fight against right-wing nationalistic media and do something positive about the state of the press in the UK.
Yes, sir.
You can get everything we do online for just £1 a week. Or if you like the actual newspaper delivered to your door every single week, then you can have that for another £1. And that's a 75% saving on what you'd pay at the newsagent. Just go to www.theneweuropean.co.uk/2Matts. That's www.theneweuropean.co.uk/2Matts, number 2, M-A-T-T-S. Do it now and you'll get your Christmas cards and calendar in plenty of time for the festive season, and you'll be supporting great independent journalism. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next question, please. Oh my lord! What's your is this my question or your question?
I'm happy to answer it.
What's your favourite George Michael song? And do you believe it was The Hairdresser that did him in? And that's from Liz in Bicester.
Thanks, Liz. Well, the use of George Michael's plural is a Masonic handshake amongst
well, I,
George.
So I read it as I saw it was put up as George Michael's, but ignored that. So that's deliberate, is it?
It's a Masonic handshake, right, amongst those of us who truly love the great one and are thrilled by him being finally at last inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I didn't know that. Passed me by. That's great news.
You see, typical. That's censorship, yeah, right? Yeah. and a great day it was too. And the answer to what's thinking about George Michael's and his amazing back catalogue. Well, obviously.
So explain the George Michael's.
I don't know where it came from, but it's
a signifier, is it?
It is like a Masonic
pure
handshake.
Fandom.
You know, we love George Michael's, right? And I won't be swear that is a hill to die on, right?
Okay.
I think Freedom 90 followed by Spinning the Wheel. Okay. Do you have a favorite George Michael song?
I love the entire Listen Without Prejudice.
It's album, great, isn't it?
Which I think is one of the masterworks.
It's a masterwork, isn't it?
Of popular music. But I think the one that, if I had to pick one, only because it was my childhood, it would be Faith.
Faith is a great song.
Absolutely love it. Great video, great jeans, great jacket, great
fantastic
song.
Elvis for the
great guitar.
The 80s. The second half of the question takes us deep into conspiracy theories.
This subject is totally new to me.
A subject which we will, I think, be dealing with in our next podcast.
Oh, really?
Teaser trailer. Do you believe it was the hairdresser that did him in?
What's
now, this refers to a very obscure theory, and one has to tread with care legally here, but George Michael's last boyfriend was an Australian hairdresser called Fadi Fawaz, who lived with him on and off in his mansion in Goring-on-Thames in Oxfordshire, and didn't get anything in the will. Now, the grassy knoll fact about Fadi Fawaz, who found George Michael's dead in his bed on Christmas Day and terrible time, 2016, is that this hairdresser had slept in his car the night before.
Oh.
Which is a bit fishy.
After doing him in.
Well, you know, on Christmas Eve night, how many people sleep in the car of when they're at a huge listed mansion?
Yeah,
right?
Not many.
It makes you think. And that's about it, really.
Where is he now, Fuddy?
I think he's, as they say...
Talking to his lawyers, probably.
right now, he's probably thinking about Talk it to grab it and run. Yes, we'd like to say this is all alleged and we have no reason to think this is true. Yeah. Sorry, Mr. Fawaz. but just to say, sure. I think has been living in slightly reduced circumstances.
Has he? In his car?
Not that car, but an car. Yes. Oh, so anyway, we don't know the truth, but I'm sure that conspiracy, I'm sure grassy knoll theories will emerge in years to come.
Well, you've set that one running. Okay, thank you very much indeed.
All right, shall I get this? Okay. What from a fellow Matt? There are so many fellow Matts. What do you think of the new John Lewis advert? Have they got the tone right this year? This is the big question, Matt. Off you go.
100% yes. I think the nation needed cheering up a little bit.
Can you tell us a little bit about it for those who haven't seen it?
It starts off with an Andrea Bocelli version of a song called Festa, which is a very kind of glorious operatic uplifting Christmas song. And it's a little boy in a junk shop and he finds a thing saying, grow your own Christmas tree or something similar. And there's a big seed inside it. And he drops the seed into this plant pot at home. And over the next few days and weeks, grows this glorious Venus flytrap, which is the size of 10 foot. It's like something out of
Little Shop of Horrors.
And it kind of smiles and becomes a great family friend.
Very well behaved.
Makes itself into the shape of a Christmas tree, but eventually heartbreak into act two when the family decide that, no, they want a proper Christmas tree. And this Venus flytrap is expelled into the garden where it's bloody freezing and he's covered in frost and everything. And Christmas morning arrives and the kid, who is clearly pissed off at the rejection of this wonderful Venus flytrap monster that he's grown, takes his present out and lays it outside in the garden in front of the Venus flytrap. And then all the other family come out and do the same. And then the flytrap appears initially to eat the presents, but he spits out the wrapping and spits the presents back to them gloriously and happily. And everybody is cheerful and festive. And I thought it was magic. Fair play.
I thought it was what we've all been waiting for, which is an inclusive approach to Christmas trees, right?
Yeah, yes, but an inclusive approach to families.
No, because within hours of it dropping, GB News had expressed fury.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That
there is not a identifiable dad figure in the family. I think that there are some, but anyway, they say there isn't,
right?
And this is typical of the wokerati, you know, trying to attack the traditional family, and it's a danger to our nation's youth.
What's your favorite John Lewis ad, putting this one to one side? Can you remember?
Give me some options.
Well, the one that still to this day, if I want to cry, I will watch the one from last year.
I thought that was beautiful.
Just wonderful because I could see myself in it. I think any dad can see, you know, you bust a gut to try and be a good dad and you'll make a tit of yourself now and again, happily. And
I do so regularly. That is a very good one.
All right. Well, thank you, fellow Matt. For your question, that's four Matts. We do get some stick, you know, from how many Matts there are, because Matts tend to be male, and I do recognise
not all though.
Not all, no, but I note there's Matildas out there, aren't
there? Yeah, exactly.
There? Come on, Matildas, write in, appear on our show. We don't want to be a male enclave. We do want to appeal to all genders and
sexes.
We're
inclusive generally, not just about Christmas trees. It's exactly important to understand this.
Exactly right. So thank you for all your questions. Please send in your questions and any feedback you've got on the show to twomatts@tnepublishing.com. That's the number 2, MATTS, at tnepublishing.com. Thank you as ever to our production team led by the fourth Matt this week, Matt Hill. And don't forget, our main podcast will be available from next Friday morning. And subscribe to The New European. We have a great offer. Just to remind you, free Christmas cards, very funny Christmas cards, and a fabulous 2024 wall calendar for all new subscribers, and that's at theneweuropean.co.uk/2Matts.
Beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Have a great week.
Have a great week, folks.